councillors, and tonight I've asked our immediate past mayor and one of the two councillors with Indigenous Heritage, Councillor Todd, to make the acknowledgement to country.
Council acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land at which the meeting is held and pays its respect to the elders, both past and present, and extends that respect to other Aboriginal people who are present.
Thank you very much, Councillor Todd. Is the mobile phone, man? All right, as a mark of good meeting practice, I'd ask everyone to turn off their mobile phones if you haven't already done so, and then be aware that the meeting is being recorded, and I'd ask you to act accordingly. First item is apologies and leaves of absence. Do we have any apologies?
Have an apology, Mr. Mayor, from Councillor Brady.
Or anyone? So we have someone move and second. Councillor Shinton, Councillor Lewis. We accept that apology. All those in favour? Carried.
Carried.
Unanimously. Next item of business is the confirmations of minutes of the meeting 17 September 2020. We have a mover, Councillor Todd. The second up, Councillor Hill. Thank you very much. Any discussion on those minutes? Anyone like to bring up? Councillor Capel? No? Very good. Well, if there's no further discussion, I'll put that motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. The disclosure of any interests, pecuniary interests, non-pecuniary interests, or conflicts of interest. I might foreshadow one, which is a bit out of the ordinary, when we get to the council committees, which is item, you might help. It deals with the internal audit, but we'll deal with it when we get to the council committees, which is item number
8.
Oh, it is. Thank you, General Manager. Yes, when we get to item number 8, that just deals with the who was on the committees, and I'm the council representative on the internal audit committee, and standing orders normally have the mayor and the deputy mayor not be members of those committee, and I'd be interested in staying on. But if someone else would like to take that on, I'll vacate the chair when we get to that item, and the deputy mayor will conduct business for that item. Very good. So if we can have a mover and a seconder for that. Councillor Iannuzzi, Councillor Lewis, all those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 1, the mayoral minutes. Item 1, the mayoral minute, mayor's log of activities, kilometres travelled, expenses from 17 September to 7 October 2020. Mover. Anne Louise. Pardon? Move it. Councillor Capel. The seconder. Councillor Shinton. Any queries or yeah, there's no further discussion. We'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Okay. Item 2, Councillors' Monthly Travel Claims for September 2020. We have a move up. Councillor Shinton. Councillor Hill. Any debate or discussion on that item? That being the case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 3 is the minutes of the Internal Audit Committee meeting. have a mover? Councillor Todd, Councillor Lewis. Any debate or discussion on item three, the Internal Audit Committee meeting? That being the case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour of the recommendation? Carried unanimously. Item four, the meeting schedule going forward. Page 14, there's a recommendation. Will someone move that motion? Councillor Shinton, Councillor Hill. Any debate or discussion on the item? Councillor Iannuzzi.
I just wanted to make a comment. One of the notes there says that the meeting after the election will be more or less governed by the general manager and his discretion in terms of the contents of the meeting. Now, I would hate to see a situation where there are 2 months' worth of business between August and October that need to be dealt with in the October meeting, and I'm just wondering whether I take on board that there's going to be an election, but whether you as mayor or the council somehow gets an input into that meeting as well, because I think a lot of the general business, especially that of a procedural nature, should be dealt with as well.
They were my thoughts exactly, Councillor Iannuzzi, and I took that up with the general manager, and we sought advice from the Office of Local Government on that. Would you like to add to that, general manager?
The advice is, well, the advice didn't actually come from the Office of Local Government, but in the Local Government Act, there's section 234, and there's a lower, in brackets 5, which talks about the mayor between council meetings at that period of time. So effectively, once the election, or the day before the council election, all positions on council are effectively vacant. And until there's a declaration of poll, you don't have councillors in place. And then even after declaration of poll, you still do not have a mayor in place. The mayor doesn't actually come into effect until elected at the council meeting following the election of councillors.
So, Mr. General Manager, further to Councillor Iannuzzi's point, we wouldn't want to see 2 months worth of, if it's just going to be a procedural meeting in September, that's a long time between meetings.
If there is matters that are urgently required to be dealt with, I would expect that they'd be raised at that meeting. That's how I'd be handling it anyway.
Councillor Iannuzzi, that satisfy you?
It is, that's what it is. I guess we always have the ability to call an extraordinary meeting before or after.
Mr. Mayor,
Councillor Lewis.
May I ask a question about that? I've been involved with council for a little while. I always thought after the elections we had a special meeting for the election of mayor and called our general meeting separate to that, especially if you've got 3 or 4 new councillors. If you've got 2 months' business to go through and new councillors, that's a big ask for them without having time to settle in.
It is a big ask. It's a big job when you rubber hits the road when you're new councillor, isn't it, Councillor Lewis? But I think that could probably be accommodated because the idea is to have that meeting 7 days after the poll's declared. So that could be the procedural one, and then an extraordinary one could follow shortly after with business in it. So, if there's any more discussion on that item, that being the case, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Moving on to item 5, Council Office Christmas Closure. There's a recommendation there. Can we have a mover?
Just an addition there, Mr. Mayor. Warrumbungle Community Care also closes. The limited service is just for certain volunteers to be providing service at that time. The staff are not actually in the office at that time either.
Thank you for that. So we had Councillor Todd and Councillor Shinton as a mover and a seconder. Have we got any debate or discussion on the item? No debate or discussion. With that being the case, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item number 6, the Office of Local Government, Section 430 report. There's a recommendation on page 19 of the business paper. Do we have a mover? Councillor Iannuzzi?
Yeah.
Councillor Lewis, you were seconding that?
Yep, I'd like to speak on, make a comment on this. And taking into account that this meeting's recorded, I still think that this Section 430 report is wrong in as much as the implications that councillors were at fault for the reason we had the Section 430 report in the first place. As stated on page 18 of the business paper, councillors not understanding their role in dealing with a tender or a tenderor. The reason councillors objected was exactly because of that, because we smelled a rat. And for us to be come back and held responsible or blamed for it, I think the councillors of the day should be commended, not persecuted. That's my comment. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Well, Councillor Lewis, I don't disagree with you at all. But all I'll say is that's what the findings are and that's what we're dealing with. So we'll just handle it. But I don't think you're a million miles away from my take on the matter either. That being said, is there any more debate or discussion on this item? Good, that being the case, I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Yes, Fred.
Carried unanimously. Okay, item 7. Returns under Section 4.21 of the Model Code of Conduct, disclosing of interests of councillors and designated persons.
Mr. Mayor, those are just tabled now for councillors and public to be available to view if they wish.
Thank you, General Manager. We have a recommendation there on page 22. Do we have a mover and a seconder? Councillor Shinton, Councillor Lewis. Is there any discussion, any debate?
So yes, question through you, Mr. Mayor, to the General Manager. Do you think it's good practice for all councillors to flick through that folder or not, or no need?
I don't necessarily think that there is a need to, unless something comes up that you feel there you might like to do a bit of research on, but they certainly are available for councillors, the public, to view at their will during office hours.
Mr. Mayor, could I just ask a question?
Sorry, yes.
It's completely different, but we used to open the rates book at one stage and it used to be tabled. And I remember some councillors used to race up and open the book to see if so-and-so had paid their rates on time or whether they were in their 21st year, that sort of thing of not paying. Is that still a practice?
No.
Well, I might lean on the General Manager for that one.
I've not seen that done. I do know that it had been practiced at one point in time, but I haven't been involved in the council that has had that done. Mr. Parker, have you?
It would have been free, Councillor.
I know it was after 1995 because they used to do it here. That's all. And some councillors race up to open the book to have a look if someone paid their rates. Yeah. I think it was quite amusing, but anyway.
I'd be saying there's confidentiality issues around that these days.
Very good. Like the Christmas dues, Councillor Hill. Reading that. If there's no further debate and discussion, I'll put the motion. Carried unanimously. Very good. Well, we've reached this item 8, and I'll hand over to the deputy for the carriage of this item.
All right, thank you. So as you heard earlier, the mayor wants to recuse himself of this item because he feels that potentially there could be a conflict. It is not a strong conflict, and when we did research this matter, there was no strong compulsion for him to step out, but we felt it was a matter of transparency and good practice to do so. So we're considering item 8, the council committees. You have it there before you. Does anybody want to move and second this item so we can get a debate going? Councillor Shinton and Councillor Todd. Does somebody want to start the discussion on this item?
In the view that the council's only operating for a 12-month period, that to change anything at this stage would be ludicrous. I believe that the mayor has done a reasonable job in the position that he's held. It's an inaugural position, and I also believe that they'll probably won't even have councillors on the next one, so I believe it's a strong point that the mayor continues and sees it through until the next council comes in.
That is the view that I know from personal discussion with the mayor that he holds. I think given it is 12 months, the lack of continuity that changing the position would bring would be potentially disruptive, especially if one considers that the meetings aren't held very often. However, the recommendations are that the mayor usually doesn't sit on this committee. There is no legality, there's no legal reason why he can't, but it's just for good practice. So does any other councillor have any objection to the mayor staying on this committee? No. Mr. Parker, you were going to say something?
I think I'll cover off on that issue. I had a note here that it might just be good to just encapsulate that in the resolution as well, so that council endorse the mayor remaining on this committee for the remainder of this term of council. Is that okay?
Is that what you were going to say as well? Okay, good. The other issue is the around a joint organisation and the other committees. Now, I feel it would be inappropriate for me to be leading those discussions. I think it's really for the mayor. So what I'm proposing here is we have a resolution to allow the mayor to continue on the internal audit committee, and then we ask him back in to finish off the rest of item 8. So I might phrase a resolution. I move that a resolution. Now, do we need to do? We'll do this as a separate resolution. A motion to the effect that the mayor continue to be the councillor appointed to the internal audit committee.
Councillor Ambrose Doolan. Yeah.
We can specifically state his name. Yes.
I'll second.
Okay. So I move. We have a seconder. All in favour. And nobody against. That's a unanimous decision. I'll go and call the mayor. Mr. Mayor, what we've in fact done is a separate resolution, separate motion that you be appointed to the Internal Audit Committee, and the rest of item 8 is back for discussion under your guidance.
Very good. So will we need a second mover and seconder for the second of this?
At the time, Councillors Shinton and Todd indicated they want to move and second that item, whether they still want to do that.
So we have a recommendation there on page 24.
Now, Mr. Mayor, there was an issue with the last Arana JO meeting where yourself and the Deputy Mayor couldn't attend, and Councillor Todd attended, but that was in an observer capacity. Does Council want to appoint a delegate or council, another councillor as a delegate to that organisation if the need arises again.
Well, you're a mind reader there, General Manager. I was just going to think we'd add a point to that. The second point, which would be that we appoint Councillor Todd as the alternate. Third point, or appoint Councillor Todd as the alternate delegate for the JO meetings, and then for that matter, country mayors should the something unforeseen arise. Just a bit of background, just the last meeting, because there was a change with myself becoming the mayor just before the JO meeting, and I had a prior engagement, that being my daughter's wedding, so I was unable to go, and the dedication, I know, and the deputy mayor had a prior engagement as well, so that just left us with the short time we had. Councillor Todd was good enough to go, but he has to be authorised by the whole council to be a delegate, not just by the mayor. So that is why we're asking for that to be added as a point to this item.
Just to clarify that, that still means that you or I can go if we can go and are available.
That's right.
The mayor would be the delegate. In his absence, then the deputy mayor steps up into that role, and of course, should you be absent also, then it would fall to Councillor Todd. But it'd be in that hierarchy.
Any discussion on that?
The only thing we couldn't have a meeting the other day because I couldn't vote and we didn't have a quorum.
That's right, Councillor Todd. We got some advice after the council meeting, and that was that it's not up to the mayor and the deputy mayor to come up with a delegate, an alternate delegate. It's the whole council's job. So here we are. So that's what we're asking for now. So if there's no more debate or discussion, we'll put that motion. Councillor Cable? Carried unanimously. Item 9, delegations of authority due to COVID-19 pandemic. There's a recommendation on page 26. Can we have a mover and a seconder? Councillor Clancy, Councillor Todd. Any debate or discussion on this item? No debate or discussion. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 10, Council Resolutions Report. We have a mover. Councillor Hill. Councillor Clancy.
All right.
Thank you. We have a mover and a seconder. Do we have any debate on this item? Any discussion? Councillor Lewis.
Just like to ask a question in regards to my notice of motion at the last meeting, which no report's been forthcoming, and that was a resolution of council. How long do we have to wait to get resolutions when we call for something simple as a report be brought back?
You refresh my memory on what that was, the motion
that
was
over the acquisition of the paper road for the quarry and the progress being made on the same, taking into account the thousands of tonnes of product that's coming down our main street every day, that's probably one of them now, that's money being spent outside of our LGA and money that's not coming back into our LGA. It's a very sad situation to see.
Three, Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Yes.
Following that council resolution, advice was sought on the time frame from council's solicitor, and at the time of business paper reports, that advice has not been received. And I think that, so I expect to have that available for the November meeting.
Thanks, Director Tye. So
Action's been taken, Councillor Lewis.
Beg your pardon?
Action has been taken.
There may be action being taken, but my constituents want evidence that action being taken, and that evidence is not forthcoming.
So that will be November, Director John.
Yes, that's correct, Mr. Mayor. Just to report on where the process of acquiring that Crown Road is up to, that will be subject of a report to the November meeting.
Thanks for that. Very good. Well, thank you for that. Any more debate or discussion on the resolutions report? That being the case, I'll put the motion, put the recommendation. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Next item, item 11, revotes and high value projects report. Recommendation is this be noted for information. Do we have a mover and a seconder? Councillor Todd and Councillor Shinton. This is for noting. Do we have any questions for the relevant director? No. That being the case, I'll put the recommendation. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Moving on to item 12, Australia Day 2021. There's a recommendation on page 32. And we have a mover and a seconder for that recommendation. Councillor Shinton, thank you very much. Councillor Clancy, thank you. We've got some recommendations there. Have we got any discussion on those recommendations? Councillor Iannuzzi.
Given the COVID situation, and I realise it's still 3 months away, I'm uncomfortable about committing to events of a in-person nature. As we've seen in the last few days, the situation is quite fluid, and I just wonder whether it's worth going to all the trouble with the staff, costs, etc., only to have to undo it at the last minute. Either doing something online or just perhaps bypassing events this time around.
Interesting considered take on the matter.
I just realised how much effort goes into planning these things and how much cost, and I just hate the staff especially to be putting all that time and energy into it only to have it come to nothing.
If I could just offer a comment, Mr. Mayor, if that's okay. It's my understanding that most of the events, if not all of the events around the local government area, are actually organised by local residents as opposed to the staff. Is that correct, Mr. Parker?
Yes, Mr. General Manager, through you, Mr. Mayor.
Kim, come up to that one if that's not working.
This year, there's a couple of things that have happened that the government's trying to encourage us to still proceed with it, and they have a grant to assist with COVID 19 restrictions, and we have applied for a $20,000 grant that to help the communities actually. Better able to cover off on restrictions. One of the things that we're doing with the community consultations that start next week, it'll be they're run as in those cases they're run as a corporate event, and it'll be a good test for us to actually be able to manage. The circumstances around it, and you're right, Mr Deputy Mayor, it is a concern, and it could mean that it would come to an abrupt halt if things go the wrong way. We're prepared to do it. Most of the work has actually, the preliminary work has been done, but for the communities, it would be hard if then at the last minute they were cut off. But we don't really have control of that, as you're aware.
Mr. Councillor Shitton?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. I was just thinking. I think it's a couple of weeks' time. We've got the Coonabarabran Cup. It's an experiment. 500 are allowed at that event. And if that works, I mean, and there's drinking there, so we're going to have to sit if you're drinking, you have to sit if you eat. Those regulations are still there. These events usually attract probably 100 people or less, and I think with the way the public are handling the COVID event anyway, I think we should go ahead with it, and I doubt whether there's a great risk out here. I don't know about the visitors who are coming from Sydney to talk to us. Maybe that could be done on a screen or something like that if people are worried. But in this area, there hasn't been anything detected as far as I'm aware, and I think we're safe to go ahead with it. But whatever happens, even if it's cancelled, we're going to have to go ahead and give these awards out because you forget if you don't do them every 12 months. That's all there is to it.
Councillor Lewis.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I concur with Councillor Annesi, but the only thing I've thought about it is we bring in an aeroplane load full of ambassadors to Dubbo, and Lord knows where they've been the weeks before, what they've been doing, who they've been mixing with. That's the only real danger I can see in it, and I do agree with Peter also that it'd only be a small crowd, but they'd have to comply with COVID-19 regulations, but bringing in people from Sydney or Melbourne or wherever they're going to come from, that sort of rings a few danger bells to me. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Todd.
I've got one. The Sportsman of the Year. We should have a young Sportsman of the Year because there's too big a gap between a grown person and a junior. Citizen of the Year, young Citizen of the Year, a sportsman that somebody plays football for.
Righto. Well, are you moving that as an amendment? So,
I suppose it's a matter of first. Is Councillor Shinton and Councillor Clancy happy for that to be an amendment or be included in their motion?
But honest with you, I didn't notice it wasn't there. I thought we always had a young sportsperson and an older sports person. Is that just a misprint? Or
we used to have them, but last year we didn't have one. But
we must have been on trying to save some money somewhere for one certificate.
There's a big gap between a 10-year-old, 12-year-old kid and a 35-year-old tennis player playing tennis.
But I'm quite happy to accept that in the motion.
Okay. To have the young sportsman move put in? Young Sportsman of the Year?
He's asking if you would like to have the young sport.
Thanks, Councillor Clancy. Just including that in there, we don't have to have a vote on the amendment. Right. Well, if there's no further discussion, I think...
May I just
ask? Oh, yes, you can, Councillor Hill.
If we don't have one of those... what do you call ambassadors from further afield, or we cancelled having an ambassador, the things here you could generally still go ahead without that person, couldn't they?
I think so.
I just think that might be a person coming in, and if things are getting worse in Sydney and they're coming from Sydney or whatever, could we just look after ourselves and not have an ambassador?
Well,
this year.
That's a good idea, and I think the alternative could be an unsung local hero who might be...
Yes, might like to
we could ask to step forward. We could ask to step forward, and I think there'd be some nuggets of gold there that we wouldn't have known all about their story if we were to prevail upon them to be the ambassador, if that was the case. So,
and if things got really bad and everything started to get closed down because of the COVID-19, well, then we won't have anything anyway. But anyway, but I just think if that person isn't coming, that ambassador isn't coming.
For you, Mr. Mayor?
Councillor Capel.
Not all ambassadors are coming out of Sydney. We've had several that are regionally based.
Well, my thoughts from the chair on that, I think we'll take the deputy's input on board in a serious way, and I think we'll plan for the best, but then also plan for the worst. And I think I'll just get some advice from the general manager there. Those delegations that we've just passed there an item or two ago about the COVID delegations, would they be of use to us should the worst happen here, Mr. General Manager? I'll just put back in.
I don't see that those sort of delegations would be necessary. I think that other things will determine it itself. So the Australia Day Council, I think they'll be providing advice and guidance to councils along the way. I think they're the ones who send out the ambassadors. If they're not, I'm sure that group will make their own determination as to what they do. So I think there's some time.
What about that?
Yeah. Well, that's right. I think we've got a little bit of time on our side and we've got common sense. So with all of that, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 13, Community Assistance Financial Grants. Of the mover, Councillor Iannuzzi. Seconder, Councillor Shinton. Councillor Iannuzzi, would you like to?
No.
Councillor Shinton.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I don't disagree with any of these, but I didn't think that we could give out money to go towards prize money. We used to have every swimming club used to apply for these grants to give out prize money, and I think the council some years ago said no funding towards prize money. So I don't know if that's one of your one of the things you consider, but.
Through you, Mr. Mayor.
Please do.
It's not covered in the guidelines that I've got at present. This year we're going to be reviewing the guidelines because a couple of things have come up that councils have mentioned in the last couple of times. At present it isn't. I think just looking at that one, it wasn't the full part of the application, I didn't think. Oh,
Thank you, Mr. Parker. Happy with that, Councillor Shinton? Any other debate or discussion on the item? If not, I'll put the recommendation. Carried unanimously. Next item is item 14, Community Strategic Plan Review and Customer Satisfaction Survey. We have a recommendation on page 39. We have a mover and a seconder. Councillor Iannuzzi. Councillor Capel. Sorry about that. The recommendation is that we note the information contained in the Community Strategic Plan Review. Is there any discussion? Councillor Lewis.
Mr. Mayor, page 39, preliminary investigations.
telling us it's going to cost us $30,000 to have this report, I find it very hard to take. We're having a customer satisfaction survey and spending $30,000, and you go down to Mendora and there's road there being closed for months and months and months, splitting the town in half, which would cost a lot less than $30,000 to fix. And for that reason, I'd vote against this.
Fair enough. Any other debate or discussion on the item?
Really Councillor Hill? Do we really need to be spending that sort of money doing that?
What's our General Manager?
From our point of view, it's one way of getting a better gauge on what's happening out there in the community. It's not absolutely necessary. It's purely up to council. It does set a benchmark for us going forward that we say at this particular point in time, this is how the community thought of council then, and does give an indication of to council what priorities might look like going forward as well. So it's purely up to council. It doesn't have to be done, but it does provide that extra bit of information for the council.
Through you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Capel, and then after Councillor. Thank you, Councillor Capel.
Is this instead of doing the face-to-face workshops we've done in the past?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The first part, the resolution, I mean the recommendation, is about a customer satisfaction survey. That's to set the benchmark, as General Manager has mentioned. I'm going off what was produced for Seven Glen Eyres Council. And it was a considerable report that was produced. It helps then to feed into what's called the Community Strategic Business Plan, which is to be developed after the next local government elections. And at this stage, we haven't actually planned that in any significant way. But the last time I'm aware of when it was done for Warrumbungal Council, you did have face-to-face discussions, and to some degree the customer satisfaction survey might shortcut some of the issues, so you're focusing just on the particular issues of concern in developing that community strategic business plan that's supposed to be the vision for the council, say, going forward the next 10 years.
Thank you for that. Councillor Shinton.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I must have misunderstood this whole report, because I thought the customer satisfaction survey was to do with the fact that we get complaints about that there's no follow-up from our staff, things like that, not that that was going to influence the community strategic plan. Still think the best way to do that is with the meetings that we have, or call different meetings to discuss that plan. And there's been a lot of work put in over the years, and it'd be a shame to not reinforce that and let people speak again. But I honestly thought the customer satisfaction survey was to do with the fact that we get all those complaints at the community meetings, saying there's no follow-up and people treat them badly or don't pass their concerns on, and they never hear back. So am I completely wrong there? Is that so the customer satisfaction survey is feeding into the community strategic plan.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. The customer satisfaction survey, if you're able to have a look at some stage at the what Glenys Seven had as their report, it basically goes through and sets that benchmark. And I know the dollars involved in it, but to some degree, it then allows you to report against it once you've developed the community strategic business plan. The next four-year delivery program is going to be developed after the next local government elections. So it's part of the what's called the IPNR framework to go through this type of process, the integrated planning and reporting framework. So it's encouraged, but the face-to-face meetings certainly can produce a lot of the information you're after. Some of the community consultation meetings that I've been to, there's been comments where they've said, we're sick of you asking us how good we are or how not good we are, they want to concentrate on things that they've told us about before.
It's a shame you didn't include that in the attachments, the report that you're referring to.
This report it probably belongs to Glenys 7, and I hadn't actually got clearance to release it. It's probably on their website though, it may well be something that they're happy for us to circulate.
So, Councillor Shinton, would that be something, the concern you raised, would you like that included in that, or...?
No, not necessarily. No. It's, yeah, it was, like I said, I think if we had have been made privy to that report, perhaps I would have had a better understanding, but the way I was reading this was two separate things, one of them addressing the complaint we always get about front counter, not passing on information, and then staff not getting back and answering questions and things like that. So I just have to broaden my horizons.
Never too early. Councillor Clancy, any more debate or discussion on this item?
Look, it's a lot of money, and I think that's a reflection of the fact that we're in a rural area. We have a lot of towns to cover if we're going to do this process properly. Sadly, I think this is where governance is pushing towards in this day and age. We see it wherever one goes, whether you go to a department store, you go to a university, wherever you go, there's always customer satisfaction surveys. You get your car serviced, go to the bank, you're always getting these things. Whilst there's a bit of wriggle room now, these things are going to become mandatory, and unfortunately there is an industry that goes with it, and hence why it's so expensive. But as others have said, customer satisfaction is a complaint that all nine of us get over and over and over again, and it's been the case the whole four and a bit years we've been doing it, whether it's the front desk or response to emails or other things. And I'm hoping this procedure will give us a framework to do something more concrete about it, and it will also quantify it a bit better. We have been talking for a long time about tackling this issue, but we seem to get distracted all over and over again. So let's hope that if we do this, even though it is expensive, it does lead to some better results for our communities.
Thank you, Deputy. Anyone else want to make a contribution? Being the case, I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour? Everybody except Councillor Lewis is against.
So I record Councillor Lewis against.
Next item of business is item 15, the Code of Meeting Practice Review. We have a recommendation on page 43 of a mover and a seconder. Councillor Shinton. Councillor Capel, thank you very much. I might begin, if I could, by calling upon the General Manager to... asking the director if you'd like to comment on major changes that we should be noted.
There's a through you, Mr. Mayor. There's probably two non-mandatory items being suggested here, and one mandatory. The mandatory one relates to the need to ensure that our code of meeting practice includes that we retain recordings for a minimum of 1 year. So that wasn't a great change. The other two changes recommended. One is to do with just clarifying the way meetings are held and live streamed at present. And under part four, to do with public forums, there was some feedback that it was the public forums were a bit restrictive in that sense that speakers were only going to be allowed to speak on items within the current meeting agenda, and whereas this frees it up a little and basically allows other items to be considered or speakers on other items such as of interest to local government in our area.
Thank you, Director Parker, for that excellent summary. So have we got any debate or comment on this item? Councillor Iannuzzi.
I think Councillor Lewis's motion, item 24, is relevant to this as well, and I just wonder whether there's any value in bringing that forward or whether we talk about that issue within this item, because we could potentially pass this and then have to go and change it when we get to item 24. So some guidance from you there.
Certainly, Mr. Mayor, this is the opportunity to be talking about that particular issue. The 8-day period that's referred to in Councillor Lewis's notice of motion is incorporated in the Code of Meeting Practice.
What scope, General Manager, what scope is there for us to vary that?
If you refer to my comments on page 65, you'll see there that if we adjust that timeline very much, then, well, we actually don't have much time to adjust that if the notices of motion are to be incorporated into the business paper. So under normal circumstances, we say that the notices of motion have to be in on the Monday week before the council meeting, and we aim to have the business paper out to councillors by the Friday of that same week, bearing in mind, of course, the business paper is pretty much wrapped up and ready to go on the Thursday before that. So that really only leaves us 2, maybe 3 days to deal with potential problems with a notice of motion where we may need to seek legal advice or something like that, and then have that incorporated, or that notice of motion then incorporated into the business paper. Now, if councillors were to say they wanted to forego getting the business paper, say, on the Friday, and that the business paper came out later, that would give us some more time, but I don't think councillors would be keen on getting the business paper any later than the Friday, because it does actually give councillors the weekend to start going over the business paper in preparation for the meeting.
Very much so. There's a lot to take in. You couldn't do it any later than that.
Also, Mr. Mayor, of course, if it is a matter of great urgency, then it can be raised at the council meeting at the time. I would be encouraging councillors who do want to raise matters of great urgency to be talking to at least yourself and preferably other councillors so that they're on board with what is going on. Councillors would be aware that the item of general business itself got removed from the business papers on direction from the Office of Local Government because there were too many decisions that were being made on the run without giving due thought to. And that's the idea of incorporating notices of motion into the business paper itself.
Thank you, General Manager. Well, if we're referring forward to that item 24, I'll just have a comment that I was going to make to you, Councillor Lewis, depending on the outcome of that motion. I was going to offer to you that if you haven't If the 8 days is a problem with a particular item that you have, there's always the Merrill Minute, and I'm always happy to work with you there to use that if you want to get something in that's
Mr.
a bit
Mayor,
later.
The point I'm trying to make in this notice of motion, in this particular instance, when we were cut off from putting in notices of motion for this meeting, if someone had come to me on the Saturday after that, they had to wait 6 weeks to get a notice of motion in for the next meeting. Now, the constituent might think that his concern that he raises with the councillor is of great importance to him. To the rest of the council, it mightn't be real important at all. But they have the right to get it in there, and for them to have to wait 6 weeks or 30 working days is not fair, and there's got to be a way around that. And that's exactly what happened in this instance. The cut-off date was put there for notices of motion, and the next available time slot for him to get in was in 6 weeks' time. And it's just, as I've said here, that's not good, not good enough.
No, but as I was saying to you, though, Councillor Lewis, this time was a little bit different with the picnic day with the staff and the
long weekend.
And what I was just offering you there was if that constituent comes to you and they've got a problem, well, then that's your problem and that's my problem, and you speak to me, and if it's warranted, we'll put it in as a Merrill Minute and we'll get it in for you.
Mr. Mayor, if I could just add a further comment. Often there are things that come up that don't necessarily need to go before the full council either. They can actually be dealt with under delegated authority, and it's often that councillors do contact me and raise concerns about particular issues. I'm sorry, Councillor Lewis, I'm not familiar with what this particular item that you're talking about, but if there are matters that don't need to go before council, more than happy to take them on. And in addition to that, if it is a matter that the resident does feel very strongly about, council does offer public forum, which we close off on the Tuesday before the council meeting, and they can come and address the council directly themselves.
So Mayor, so what happens if during the period of public submissions we get similar feedback to what Councillor Lewis is saying, and I have made similar comments in the past as well, would that be an opportunity then to revise that at that point in time? Because we're only putting this up for public discussion at the moment, aren't we?
Well, this goes out onto, as you say, public submission for a minimum of 28 days with a submission period of 42 days. Council will consider what those submissions are, and I would be suggesting that anything outside those submissions probably shouldn't be considered as a change. So if we're saying that we're not putting up that we change the days for notices of motion, then we shouldn't consider a change at the next point.
Well, that is the recommendation, that we just put it on exhibition and receive submissions. My thoughts on that I just wanted to bring up at this point in time were, they're talking about the recording of meetings, which here at Warrumbungal, we were a bit ahead of the curve. We were recording our meetings before it became compulsory, and we owe that to the wide business experience of the Deputy Mayor, who was pushing from that from the first time he was elected. And it is a valuable tool that we have. And when we went into these COVID-safe times, we already had the tools at hand to have COVID-safe meetings. So having said that, we've got a recommendation on page 43.
Before you put that, Mr. Mayor, the public forums, it says there it's 4 minutes for each speaker, but there's not a time limit for the whole public forum. Do we need one, or is that a concern?
It was something that was mentioned when we were dealing with the report. At this point in time, it hasn't been a problem, but if council wants to impose a time limit, then happy to incorporate that. The thing I would be saying to you is, if you're going to incorporate a time limit, then you need to enforce the time limit. But it hasn't been a problem to date.
I agree with you, yeah.
I think the most we've had is, I think, three submissions in public forum at this point.
I think Councillor Shinton raises a good point. If something controversial came up, you could get the potential for disruptive behaviour from the public, and they could just clog us up for 3 hours with filibuster, so to speak. Do we put a cap of, say, 3 or 5 submissions per meeting and first in best dressed or something like that? Or do we just worry about it if and when it happens?
I'm happy to incorporate something like that, Council.
I think if you... suggesting that amendment...
For you, Mr Mayor?
Yes, Councillor Capel.
Could it include, with the Mayor's approval, or... something about the Mayor's moderation. So if we do have 20, you can then make a call. If 10 are from one group, then they need to consolidate it.
I think, is there something in there already, Mr Parker, in relation to the number of items being considered public forum from the same on the same topic? I had a feeling there was, but
sorry, I don't remember anything specific.
I'm not saying same topic. I'm saying same group, because they can come with various different topics if they're going to filibuster.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it could be that you word it in such a way that the normal amount is, say, five, which would be 5 fours of 20, but with the Mayor's approval, X number of others could be added. A wording like that?
Mr. Mayor, I draw your attention to clause 4.8 of the Code of Meeting Practice, where it says no more than 2 speakers are to be permitted to speak for or against each item of business on the agenda. So that's items on the agenda. So that does limit the number of speakers on the agenda. If we're talking about expanding that to items not on the agenda, so
another 2,
we can incorporate something there too if you wish.
We have the bones of that there, that we have 2 for and 2 against. That's 4 on the agenda items. Do we have another couple as the maximum for non-agenda items? A maximum of 6?
I think you expand that clause to just say no more than 2 speakers for or against any particular item, if you want to do that limit.
How many items we've got tonight? We've got 18? 22?
Mr Mayor, wouldn't the easiest way around this be to limit the time of the public forum in its entirety? As in, you allow 15 minutes for public forums, or 20 minutes, or whatever, regardless of the number of speakers. Once the 20 minutes is up, she's all over. Red Rover, see you later.
Well, we could do it that way, but I'll have to appoint you as the timekeeper, Councillor Lewis, and you'll be able to give each person their allocated time. I think the most we've ever had is 3, I think. I think if we set a limit of 6, that's double what we've ever had. That would be sufficient, wouldn't it?
Mr. Mayor, the biggest problem is Some people raise some issues here that the councillors all want to have a go too. And if that happened, what sort of time limit are we going to set then? you know, like, because the questions that get, you know, some people we just sit here and think, yep, right, and but others are interesting topics, and you might get most councillors, you know, asking questions or making making some sort of comment, but yeah, it could be very time consuming with six if they were all interesting subjects that we all want to have a go at.
Well, that's true, but that's what we're here for. So I think, you know, if you think six too many, that's all right. Make it come four. Up with four.
Yeah, I think four would be a no more than four speakers in the session.
Who are our movers and seconders there?
Councillor Shinton and Councillor Cable.
Councillor Cable, Councillor Shinton's come up with four. Attach that to our recommendation there. So if there's no further debate on the item, I'll put the recommendation as amended. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 16, investments and term deposits, month ending 30 September. Councillor Iannuzzi, Councillor Hill. Over to page 49, we have a recommendation. Do we have any questions for the relevant director? Questions or comments? If that's the case, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. The next item.
Mr. Mayor, if I could just comment for a moment. In the report, on page 51, we're saying that we're awaiting the advice of the Office of Local Government in relation to this matter. And bearing in mind, please, that this was a matter that was raised at the last council meeting, so we brought the report back now. We weren't exactly ready for it because we were waiting for advice from the Office of Local Government. But the advice from the Office of Local Government is that this does not need to go to the Minister. And Mr. Tai, you might further follow on from that for me, if you could, please.
So thank you, Mr. General Manager. Mr. Mayor, the advice now from the Office of Local Government is that for licence agreements under 5 years, agreements need to be considered by council. Any objections received to those licence agreements under 5 years need to be considered by council. It appears to me that the Minister still has discretion to call in an agreement, but initially, it's council's responsibility to make a decision on the licence agreement and any objections that may be received.
Right. That's
so, if I may, Mr. Mayor, sorry, I should have also said that the nature of the report or the purpose of the report was really to inform council, and so given that council may now want to have this matter held over to November for consideration.
Moving them. Well, he was just, well,
we've started discussing this topic before it's been moved.
That's what I think. So we have a mover and a seconder. Councillor Todd and Councillor Shinton. Councillor Iannuzzi.
I think this goes back to the point Councillor Lewis has been making all along. This is late information that significantly alters the way we consider this item. So I've got a couple of things to say here. One, this is only for noting, therefore really shouldn't elicit any debate. Things for noting are simply for noting. They're not for resolutions or debate. And this is a mistake, I think, that we often make as a council and something we need to be mindful of moving forward. Furthermore, it was my understanding until a minute ago that this was in the minister's hands, and my thinking and consideration was all to do with that, and as a result I was going to suggest that we just note it and wait for the minister's advice. Now we're hearing something totally different at the last minute, which I think is unacceptable, and as a result I think this item has now been spoilt in many ways, and we have little choice but to leave it on the table or push it back to until the next meeting. I really would have preferred that information to come much earlier to council in terms of the direction from OLG.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I agree with the Deputy Mayor, and I believe, as it was suggested by the Director, that we revisit this in November and it go into the other section of the business paper, into the closed section.
Right.
Councillors Todd and Shinton.
Any more later discussion? Councillor Todd, are you happy if we leave this until next time?
Yes, I am.
Councillor Shinton is obviously. We'll change the recommendation to this be item be left on the table until next meeting. Carried over. What's the
I think just leave it as is. Just note the report.
No, no. Thank you for that advice, General Manager. So with that in mind, I'll put the recommendation that we note this report. Sure. Carried unanimously. Next item of business, item 18, Nelson Park Stop and Play Project. Recommendation, page 53. We have a mover, Councillor Iannuzzi, seconder Councillor Shinton.
Could I just make a comment on that? I'll vote for it, but the bottom line on page 52, the project's got to be completed by 31/12 of 21.
Next year.
We should be pushing it along as much as we can, because there's a lot of other things that have got to be finished on a timeline as well.
That's a correct observation, Councillor Lewis. Any more debate or discussion on the item? Be straightforward, it's advertised and written submissions. So if there's no more discussion, I'll put the item. Those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Item 19, the offer of reserve from Crown Lands. It's a recommendation on page 55. Move Councillor Iannuzzi. Seconded Councillor Capel. Recommendation there subject to conditions. Any discussion or debate on this one? Yes, Councillor Lewis.
The purpose for which the land's been used for in the past would clearly indicate that there's been chemicals used there and mixed there and one thing and another. And I wouldn't be rushing into... It's noted here that Crown Lands identified and remediating the soil within the reserve, et cetera, but I'd want clear evidence of that before we took ownership of it or took control of it. Because some of those chemicals... last 99 years. What are you going to do with it if you can't use it for anything apart from just keeping it sitting there and have to look after it with no return or of no benefit to the public?
What about if we We added, as well as identifying and remediating the soil within the reserve, that they indemnify the council.
Yeah, indemnify the council.
Sort of any further.
If it's full-on contaminated soil, which it could quite easily be.
Yes, Councillor Cable. Councillor Cable?
I think you really need to clarify that they wear the costs of any contamination, and they should also wear the costs involved with the transferring it to our ownership if we choose to take it on. We shouldn't have to wear any of those costs if they're going to be peddling it off to us. And I don't think it reads that ironclad in that recommendation.
Director Ty, would you like to comment on Councillor Capel's concerns?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would have thought it was quite clear there that the condition upon council accepting management control of the reserve is that any contamination is identified and remediated. We certainly could put in there remediated at Crown's, at the cost of the Crown.
Mr. Mayor, could I make
it
a comment there?
It doesn't actually specify at their
cost.
Yep. No. Well, we could add that. Councillor Shinton.
The whole time that Castlereagh Macquarie has had that parcel of land, there's been no chemicals mixed or even stored there. It's we inherited it from, I think it was South West Slopes County Council at the amalgamation, and I'm pretty sure that Councillor Capel has been telling us for years that they were a pretty inactive group of people, so I don't know if they stored chemicals or mixed them there either, because they didn't do much work while they were still a county council. But we haven't used it for any purpose. We had a person, I think, camp there one night, but we realised he wasn't doing his job either, and he didn't last long, but it hasn't been used for many years. So I don't know if how long these chemicals take to go away, if there were ever any stored there. So that's my input. But it's of no use to us, and hopefully it's useful to the council. I believe it is, the way the directors are talking about it. So,
are we who's our mover, Councillor Nutzin, Councillor Capel? Are you happy if we add at the Crown's cost?
I think Councillor Capel was also suggesting that there'd be an added point there that all costs associated with the transfer be at the Crown's expense as well. So we can incorporate something that covers both of those, I think. That costs of this be borne by the Crown as point three.
So, and the ongoing potential for something to come later on, I know things, dip sites and one thing or another, they might have had chemical there for a long time, but they're still contaminated for a long time. So the idea of a sleeping time bomb there, if they were to, could we add that as a rider as well, General Manager, that we're indemnified going forward, that if they, something does turn up that is not identified in the handover, if something comes along subsequently, then it's our problem.
Yeah, I'm not sure we could go that far, but I do believe that if we ask for them to do a study and remediate the soil if there is a contamination, that should cover off on things.
That is point on your hard copy there, General Manager. What have you
point
got?
Three.
Point three.
Yeah.
So, Councillor Ian Nutzi and Shinton, will you be happy with that?
Is it written? If you, oh, we're off.
We've lost the connection. So basically, it's points one and two, and then point three would be that the costs of this, the above and the transfer be borne by the Crown. Bit of wordsmithing around that, but that's the effect.
Right, well, no further discussion on that. We'll move on the old-fashioned way. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Okay. Moving on to item 20. Draft business use of footpath policy. There's a four-point recommendation on page 58. Can we have a mover and a seconder? Councillor Iannuzzi. Councillor Hill. Any debate or discussion on this item? Councillor Iannuzzi.
Noting that an application doesn't mean that an approval will be forthcoming, I quite like the idea of waiving application fees for a year. In fact, I would go further and make it 2 or 3 years. We have a real problem at the moment in all of our centres in terms of investment and business activity and anything that can promote activity, business, investment, people going down the streets and buying something, I think, is to be encouraged.
I agree. Would you like to... Sorry, Councillor Cable. Yes, Councillor Cable. Please, Councillor Cable, yes. Oh, can you hear us, Councillor Cable?
It's You've very fuzzy and you're dropping off on Facebook as well. I just noted one thing with the GM. The policy says non-disposable cutlery and plates for out on the street. Under COVID, some businesses are using recyclable, disposable things for the safety of their staff. I think we need that flexibility in COVID to allow that.
Director Ryan, could you help us out there?
Yep, through you, Mr. Mayor. That could be changed if it needs to be, although noting that if disposable items are dictated in a public health order that they can't be used, that'll override the policy anyway. So I think it probably, for COVID, it'd come down to what's in the public health order.
Ms. Ryan, is that currently in the public health order about disposable plates and the likes?
I haven't checked that, but have noted that we could change the policy if we want to.
Do you think we need to, or we just let the public health order override what the policy is?
It's up to council, although noting disposable items could be quite messy and create litter if not cleaned up. So that's probably the main reason it's been included in the draft policy.
So, General Manager, do we need to incorporate the Deputy Mayor's idea of fee-free in the recommendation for a period?
I think Council has already resolved that there be certain fee-free, except for it is noted that there are some fees which would be applicable for this one. So it could be that we say that we waive it during COVID period or we waive it for a longer period. I'd need to take some advice from Ms. Ryan on some of that.
For you, Mr. Mayor, so Council waived food inspection fees, not so much street application fees or fees for street stalls and things like that, because that's what we have at the moment. But I would think if you put it, it's got to go out in public exhibition if Council adopts a draft anyway. And if it comes back and Council still has an appetite to proceed on with the policy, you could then look at putting in a motion then that fees are waived for whatever period of time.
Would you get better feedback from the public if we not hinted is not the right word, but if we indicated that that might be a possibility?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it probably wouldn't be included in the policy, so I don't know how many people would read the business paper report to know that could happen. But once you put the policy out on exhibition, they're only going to read the policy anyway. It's not something you'd include in that. That would be something council would resolve to do separately.
Thank you. Right. Any more discussion on this item? With your thoughts on the fee-free period?
Happy for it to be dealt with later once we have the submissions.
There's no, Director Ryan, any other issues in there that we need to be aware of that are complicated that we haven't thought of? Obviously you would have thought of them, but we should be aware of them.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I think it's a good policy. It's straightforward. It's got flexibility and it's working with our local communities and businesses. So that's my advice to council.
Well, on that note, I'll put the recommendation as it is now. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 21, Planning System Acceleration Program and e-planning. Recommendation that we note the information on page 61. Do we have a mover and a seconder? Councillor Shinton, Councillor Todd. Any discussion or debate on this item?
I don't remember reading it.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, could I just add that some of the dates in that report are incorrect, where it says January 2020, it actually should be 2021, and on page 61 it refers to the 1st of July 2020, it should be 2021 as well.
Thank you for that. I read over that and didn't notice it. That's the items for noting. No further discussion on the item. I'll put the recommendation. Carried unanimously. Item 22, Inland Rail Update. Councillor Iannuzzi, Councillor Todd. Any debate on this item or contributions councillors like to make?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Once again, there's a date now for the update to council, which will be the 29th of October at 2 p.m. And there's an invite being sent out to councillors for that.
What time did you say?
At 2 p.m, Councillor Hill.
As the recommendation is that we note the information, and we'll await that update on the 29th of October. I'll put the recommendation. Those in favour? Councillor Capel, can you hear us? The recommendation about the Inland Rail? You in favour, Councillor Capel?
Just letting everyone know the feed is dropping in and out. There's something wrong tonight. It's dropping in and out to me and onto Facebook.
Thank you, Councillor Cable. Can you hear us now? Take that as a no, and we'll record 8 people in favour with Councillor Cable.
In favour? Unless she votes against.
Item 23, development applications. recommendation there on page 64. Councillor Iannuzzi. Councillor Todd. As their recommendation is that we note the approvals, I'll put that recommendation. Councillor. Nancy. Councillor Capel. Item 24. Councillor Lewis, do you think we've dealt with this, or you'd like to move it again?
The thrust of a notice motion, Mr. Mayor, was we started off at 5 days, and we got to 8 days, and then it snuck out to 10 or 11 days, whatever it was last meeting, and I'd just like to bring it to Council's attention that in this particular instance it was just too long. With our modern technology and all that, I appreciate the staff and then need time to get the business paper together and do it. But the more technology we got, the longer it seems to make things happen, though.
That's we'll combine that with the previous motion there, Councillor, and just reapply the offer there of the mayoral minute. And if you've got the constituent who is they can come and
take all that into account. But I'd still like to make the comment that the more modern technology we get, it's not making things faster, it seems to be making things slower, especially in this, in planning, in every aspect of our business. We're bound down by bureaucracy, and people are not allowed to make mistakes. I know that, but they're not allowed to make decisions anymore. It's all got to be done by a machine or a computer or whatever, and common sense factors just disappeared.
Thank you for
my thoughts. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you for your thoughts there, Councillor, and I'll commend you as being a diligent councillor who's always got the thoughts of your constituents at centre of all that you do. So we'll move on to reports to be considered in closed council. Okay. Councillor Lewis, would you like to move that we note your concerns on the notice of motion? Seconded by Councillor Todd. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Moving on to reports to be considered in closed council.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, item number 25 on the agenda is reports to be considered in closed council. There's item 25.1, organisational development monthly report for September 2020, for it to go in closed council under 10A2A of the Local Government Act. Now, last meeting there was a question about moving these in block, so a matter of whether council wants to move these in block or wants me to go through them as individuals.
I think if we can move them in block, that would be an improvement. Do we need a motion to that effect?
Or yes, please.
Councillor Todd. And myself, I'll move that we move those in block. We have a show of hands that we move those in block.
Closed council.
Into closed council. Councillor Cable. Oh, we'll take that as unanimous because you didn't vote against. Right. So, do we have someone to now move that we move all of those items into closed council? Councillor Iannuzzi.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. Before we do that, the opportunity does exist for the members of the public to come forward and express their reasons why those items should not go into closed council. Mr. Mayor, there are no submissions for council to consider, so there is a further recommendation there on page 67, which recommends that council go into closed council.
So we have a mover to that effect.
Yes.
Councillor Shinton, seconder. Councillor Hill.
I'm
the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Voting Councillor Hill's absence. Councillor Inutsu, you'd like to vote in favour of that? Yes.
Climate Community Information Report. I will note that Council took advice during that from its council, or legal council, and the resolution of that was that Council endorse the actions as outlined in the report in relation to the Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Project. And the final item was the 25.3, the tender for the roof replacement to the office building at Coonabarabran. The resolution of Council was that, one, the contract for the replacement of part of the roof on the Coonabarabran Administration Building is awarded to Murphy's Construction Group for a price of $439,558.54, inclusive of GST. Two, that additional funding for the project is obtained by reallocating the budget allocations for the following existing projects: Coonabarabran Town Hall, $50,000, Coonabarabran Sport and Recreation Centre, $25,000, Cowper Street Open Channel Construction, $46,000, Binaway Hall Refurbishment, $35,000, and Dunedoo Hall Stage, $30,000.
Thank you. Well, excuse me, that concludes our... well, there was one item of pressing business before we conclude our meeting, and that is to wish our colleague, Councillor Clancy, a very happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Oh, well done.
And I'm sure you, when you woke up this morning, you thought the best thing you could do on your birthday was come to the council meeting and talk about roof reconstruction and
right.
Legal fees and...
do you want me to make a speech?
I think if you limit to, you know, unaccustomed as you are, you could probably give us the highlights of your years on council there. If you keep it under 10 minutes, I think that'd be okay.
I'll be out home.
Righto. Good work, Fred. And then before we close off, it's been a big weekend for Dunedoo with the football, so we congratulate them. If you could pass on our best wishes, Councillor Hill, on your return, and we'll see them there next Wednesday.
Yeah, no, that'll be good. I'll go to the sports club tomorrow night. It's something I'd normally, but I will do that. And can I just request, because of all this news and information, can we have as much information down there on Thursday night as possible because of the Three Rivers? I just don't want everybody being rude and, you know. So if we can tell the community what's going on now, I think that'll be
helpful. Great idea. Well, there being no further business, we'll close the meeting, and thank you for your attendance and your contribution.